Coming to you live from Memorial Stadium, it's Sports Nightly. Presented to you by the NDOT Highway Safety Office, who remind you to buckle up and put the phone down.
This would be a school record if he makes this kick. Senior TJ O'Leary to snap it. Senior Jake Wash to put it down. Alexander to try to put the Huskers in front with a minute 50 left in the game. Ball right on the end. The snap is down. The kick is up. The kick is
get
on
there.
Its way. And the kick is good. Oh! Makes it in there. 57 yards out of school record to put the Huskers in front, 33-31.
Brett ready to deliver the first pitch. Breaking ball. That's looped in left field. Gabe Swanson is there. He squeezes it. And your Huskers are Big Ten champions. After losing game one Tuesday night, they come back and win five straight and capture the Big Ten tournament for the first time since joining the league. And the dog pile is ongoing in front of the plate.
Now, here is your host, Jessica Cootie, on the Huskers Radio Network.
Well, happy Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in. Hope everybody is staying safe and warm. We're going to be live here over the next couple of hours here on Sports Nightly, but not a typical show, if you will. We're going to spend the next couple of hours paying tribute and celebrating our dear friend and fearless leader, Greg Sharp. And I've already been emotional all day, so I'm going to try to get through this the best that I can. And there's no way I would be able to get through this without the family members of our Huskers Radio Network team that's going to be here all throughout these next couple of hours. So we're going to have Damon Benning stopping by, Ben McLaughlin, Jeremiah Searles, Nate Rohr, and joining me here, our number one in studio is Matt Cotney. Thank you for being here. There's no way I could have done this on my own, so I appreciate you being here with me tonight.
Jess, I absolutely am honored to be here. I wish it was under different circumstances, but as you noted, we are a family. And a very unique family. And Greg was the leader of our family. And it's very strange to sit here without him being here. Mm-hmm. And I know he is among us here tonight. But thank you for having me. And we'll get through this together. And I know our fans will help us through it.
402-413-2400 is that number. If you want to text in, give us your thoughts, your stories, your favorite stories about Greg. We're going to share some of ours and what he meant to us here over the next couple of hours. We're going to do that tonight. And then on Thursday, we'll be off the air tomorrow night because we've got a couple of big basketball games that will be here on the network. But then on Thursday night, we're going to return to our regular scheduled programming, because I know that's what Greg would have wanted. You know,
he would.
I mean, he even up until his last couple of days, we went to see him and he's talking about the women's team and about the baseball season opener and softball. I mean, he loved the Huskers and he would want us to talk about them here on the show.
You know, the thing about Greg, my first time I ever really talked to Greg was back in 2008, not long after he joined the network. And a lot of people don't remember, he used to do TV.
Yeah.
Third tier TV. And, I was filling in as the color announcer for men's basketball with Kent Pavelka at a game at Iowa State, and Greg was driving over to do the game on TV. So we all drove over together. And think about that car ride. Okay, KP and me and Greg. And what impressed me, because Greg had just joined the network, he knew so much about Nebraska sports, not just men's basketball, not just football, and that never changed. You know, you could come in here and say, "Hey, how you doing, Sharpie?" And he's like, "Man, I got that big wrestling duel coming up on Friday night. Yeah, I think Nebraska's got a pretty good chance here." He knew when the rifle team did very well. And when we get in season, it is hard for me to concentrate on anything other than Husker women's basketball. But Greg knew everything. And it started on that first car ride over to Ames, Iowa. I thought, how does this guy know all this stuff? He just got here, you know?
Yeah, no, and I mean, even, you know, up until really last week, he was very much a part of, putting this show together. I mean, he'd text me his ideas and, would be very much on the up and up on, like you said, wrestling. He loved watching wrestling and Mark Manning's crew. And, even on Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, we were texting about how big it was, the win for the men's basketball team. So, he loved the Huskers. Kansas State can claim him too, but he was, sure, he bled red at the end. You know, he was a Husker through and through at the end.
He would come in here on Saturday morning to this very studio And I mean, we would all be in here and joking around about everything, but he would set the tone. When Greg got here, he'd say something like, "Hey, did you see that TCU score last night? This guy did this. You remember that guy?" He was always a step ahead of all of us. And he had found some factoid or something. And that silently challenged you to, you know, get your game face on right now. Sharpie's here. You know, we're going to have a broadcast right now. It's not going to be the same coming into the studio next year, because he was our tone setter for the entire network.
Yeah, and I just, you know, there's a lot of sports that we cover, which we're so grateful for, that we have so much radio content, that we have so many sports that we put on and we cover, and we have the biggest radio broadcast on Saturdays in the fall on football game day across college football. I mean, there's so many moving parts to the Huskers radio network, and it can kind of seem like everybody has their own thing, but Greg was so good at bringing everybody together and making everybody feel like they're just such a part of this family. I mean, even Lauren Cook West, who was texting me, her dad just retires and she's asking me about Greg, and, you know, Greg meant a lot to a lot of people, and especially here with our family.
Well, you know, I'll tell you, fans always teach me something, and we give a lot of speeches. All of us do. You get asked to give speeches. And last summer I was in Dakin, Nebraska, and a fan came up to me, like so many did, and said, "Please tell Greg we're thinking of him." And then he said something to me that I never forgot, and it really rang true this week. He said, "Greg is like family. When Greg had his diagnosis, it felt like a member of our family was going through it." And he said, "All of you guys, Jessica, John Baylor, Kent Pavelka," he named off all of us, "you're all like family because we hear you all the time. We hear you for long periods of time." And I'll never forget that fan in Dakin, Nebraska saying that, because I get to thinking, you know, it's cold right now, and, you know, my team just came off of a loss and a significant injury, and we're family to people out there. And the head of our family was gone. People connected with Greg, I think, for one reason. He was real. When you talk to Greg out on the street, it's the same guy that was sitting behind that microphone, right?
Yeah.
You didn't get any fluff. He didn't have to fake it. And that's pretty rare.
Yeah.
It's pretty rare. And like you said, we are a family around here. And Greg was the one who set that tone.
Absolutely. Stephen Bellevue said, "So personable, kind of like the best neighbor one could have. Perfect voice for broadcasting, like a James Earl Jones was film. I'll miss him." Yeah, I mean, I'll never forget the first time that my dad was listening to Greg and I on Sports Night. He said, "Man, he's got a great voice."
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's a voice that every broadcaster would just kill for, that kind of voice.
Well, he's got the perfect name, Greg Sharp. I mean, you know how many times people have screwed up my name through the years? Courtney, Coatney, Cotney.
Oh, all these Cody.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Right? Greg Sharp. I mean, like Chuck Norris. He's got that perfect name. The other thing that I just marveled about Greg, his call of any sport, whether it be baseball, but especially football, was clean. Never really made a mistake. You know how hard it is to call football and not make a mistake? You know, get
the
wrong tackle.
When we knew he made a mistake, he might say it when none of us knew.
I never saw it. You know what I mean?
There'd just be a couple times maybe like he missed a break or something. He's like, "Oh, my bad, I missed a break." But you know, like that kind of thing. You never know. You would never know, because he was
so clean and such a comfortable listen. And just like, you know, Stephen Bellevue said, like James Earl Jones, you know, people want to hear James Earl Jones read the phone book. They don't care. People wanted to hear Greg Sharp talk.
Yeah.
I mean, he was so smooth.
Dr. J and Carney said Greg was the best and he'll be missed. He's up there watching over us with a hot dog drowning ketchup. LOL, GVR, Dr. J and Carney. Guess Greg was a ketchup on his hot dog fan. We'll have to ask Ben about that here in an hour or two.
There's a lot about that. You know, another thing, Jessica, when Greg came along, we had some turmoil here in the network because Kent Pavelka had left, and then Warren Swain did football for a few years, and then Jim Rose did it for a few years. But as soon as Greg got here, he stabilized everything. You think about the way the network looked in 2008, it's not that much different today. Kent Pavelka is still doing men's basketball. Ben McLaughlin's still here. Nate Rohr's still here. John Baylor's still here. I'm still here. Greg was really the stabilizing force behind that. And there's just not too many places where you're going to find. I said this on social media. Greg's one of the few people who was so complimentary to others. He would always say during a broadcast, make sure you listen to John Baylor tomorrow night on volleyball, or listen to KP and Jake Neuheisen. And, you know, you can't do what we do unless you have ego. But I never saw it with Greg. You know, I mean, you can't be the voice of a major network unless you have ego. But he never demonstrated it. What he did, it always seemed like he was my biggest fan, but it was the other way around. I was his biggest fan, you know?
Yeah, when I first started, obviously I had never done radio, and it's a little bit different than TV. And, you know, I've said this before, but he was so patient with me while I figured it out and, you know, really allowed me to do my thing. And, you know, he gave me a platform and opportunity to share some of those interviews, those stories with a lot of the sports that don't always get a lot of the publicity. He loved the Dig, you know, he'd always want to air that and would watch that and just was so supportive of me. And, you know, when the changes came to the sideline and, you know, he was, for what I've told, very supportive of me moving to that role. And there's like four women on the sideline doing radio. Yeah. And, you know, he was very, very supportive of that and was a champion of everybody, you know. And one of the last things that he did for us here on the Huskers Radio Network, he was pretty passionate about making sure we put softball on the air last Friday night. You know, he gave me a call and said, hey, in the meeting, we should bring it up. And so we made it happen. And we heard Nate Rohr last on their season opening weekend on the Friday night. I mean, he just... He was a supporter of all of us here. And like you said, made all of us feel like he was our biggest fans.
You know, one of my favorite pictures I put up as my Facebook cover page a couple of days ago. And one of the first people to respond to it was Amy Sharp. And she says, we have this picture framed at home. It's one of our favorite pictures. It's one of Greg's favorite pictures. It's a picture that has, it was a Husker women's basketball game. I'm going to get back to Greg used to do TV when he first got here. And in order in that picture is Matt Davison, Greg Sharp, Nate Rohr, who looks a lot younger there, doing statistics, Jeff Griesch, and me. And to me, why that picture is special to me is Greg's in the picture with a lot of people from this network. And I think, you know, he really liked that. Another thing I really liked when he started doing Sports Nightly, oh gosh, that must have been... about 11 years ago is when he first started doing this show. He made it a lot more fun. A lot of segments that you guys do, getting the producer involved. I remember when Cole Hartman was here. And
oh, his joke of the week?
The joke of the week, you know. he would get everybody involved, our student interns who are so valuable.
Yeah.
So valuable here. He would make sure they get that airtime and in a fun way, you know, not in a very pressure way. Like you said, he took the pressure off of you as you transition from TV to radio. He took the pressure off all of us. You know, he was always looking for a way. He was always worried about me. Do you need help doing this? Do you need help doing this? And he knew I didn't. But that's who he was. He wanted to make sure you were comfortable before he was. And how can you not want to work with a guy like that?
I'll try to roll through a few of these texts. We got several of them coming in. John in Omaha said, I spent hours and hours driving county roads listening to Sports Nightly for years. The amount of enjoyment I got from Greg Sharp is incalculable. He was understanding when I had questions and gracious when I had opinions. And he was delighted to have you on board, Jessica. Rest in peace, Greg. I will forever miss him saying John in Omaha. Yep. This one, it seems like everyone has that one voice they remember listening to growing up for whatever sport. Greg will forever be my voice of the Huskers. You think about this generation of the newer Husker fans, that's what they know for the past almost two decades.
I can't tell you how many times people have told me that my football Saturday doesn't start until Greg Sharp, you know, says, welcome to Countdown to Kickoff, and here's Matt Cotney with scores. And they said, my day doesn't start until that happens. And you know, when someone tells you that it's that important, you know, you want to go that extra mile. And, you know, that's how important Greg was to him, that Football Saturday was Greg Sharp to that generation.
All right, let's go ahead and get to our first break. On the other side of this, we're going to bring in Damon Benning, who spent the last couple of 2.5 seasons with Greg in the booth calling Husker football. So we're going to make sure that DB, and Greg will appreciate this, you know, that DB is set up technically to be able to join us here on the show. So we'll keep those texts rolling in. We'll try to get to as many of them as we possibly can. We appreciate all your sentiments. I mean, I know personally my phone, you said the same thing. I had to turn my phone on silent. I'm just so appreciative of the people that have reached out and sent their condolences. It's meant so much. It's helped, I know, all of us through the last couple of days, but it certainly means a lot to know that he was so well loved. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics.
Second and 10 from the 18. I formation. Turn. Toss it back to Burkett off the left side. Rex has a seam. 15. 10. Burkett 5. Dives. He's in. Touchdown, Nebraska. And the Huskers have come all the way back. And they have the lead. 33-27.
The Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center is sponsored by Acres, the Midwest premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres. Solutions for every field. Welcome back to Sports Nightly and our Greg Sharp tribute show. Shout out to Josh Hilkeman for pulling some of those great highlights we're going to hear all throughout tonight's show. You were sitting over there smiling, listening to that call.
It just, I'm never going to get sick or tired of listening to Greg Sharp.
Yeah.
Highlights. There's so many of them. And that time with Rex Burkhead, how many women had the sexy Rexy jerseys on? And Greg was the soundtrack of that whole time. You know, that's what that makes me think of.
Matt Cody, Jessica Cootie here with you in studio. A couple texts to read real quickly. Patty from Omaha, Husker Nation will miss Greg. He showed such strength the past year. Thanks for the memories, no doubt. I don't know if people knew what he went through, how much he fought to be on almost every night here, especially, I mean, there were certainly some stretches that he was pretty sick and going through it, but boy, he fought to get back on and was here so many nights that a lot of people would not have been. So absolutely. Art in Los Angeles, so yes. One of your favorites, yes. Said, when I met Greg in San Diego, what was crazy, he acted excited to see me, and here, little old me and nobody, he made me feel so special. That's the type of person he was, also so joyful. I love you, Greg, and he sent a selfie with Greg, so I appreciate that. All right, let's welcome in Damon Benning, who spent the last couple of years, 2.5 seasons, with Greg Sharp in the radio booth calling Husker football. DB, thanks for being here. We were joking before we went to break that Greg would appreciate this, but that we had to get you set up and technically able to join us here tonight.
Yeah, well, I don't know. This time I don't think it was all my fault, but I mean, what would you save the link after... It would be very fitting that there was a little bit of late minute scrambling. I know he appreciates that.
Well, you know, we just are kind of sharing some of our favorite stories and what Greg meant to us. And I know you've shared a lot over the course of the last week or so about Greg on your own radio show. But I guess for our listeners, just what has it meant for you to be able to be in the booth with him over these last 2.5 years?
You know, he was incredible, you know, and it's interesting that kind of you're the one asking me the question because, you know, you were kind of the bridge early on when I was just a little unsure. And I think you know me well enough now where there are these parts of insecurities that I have, and TV is vastly different than radio. And I kind of understood the magnitude of the job and it happened so quick. And so you were kind of like my cheat code where I would say, hey, you know, should I ask this? Can we do this? What do you think about this? And almost from the get go, Jess, as you know, I think the thing that blew me away was he was so inviting early on. It was almost seamless. You know, one of the things that I really enjoyed was just how quick we kind of meshed from a chemistry standpoint. And you know me, I ask questions and I said, hey, is it okay to do this? Or, hey, can we high five? Or what do you think about this? And he just, I knew it was a tough deal, right? I'm coming in the middle of the season. He came in kind of the middle of the season. And I just wanted to get in where I fit in. And I tell people, anybody that'll listen, the two biggest things that have happened in probably my career are the tutelage from Kevin Kugler early in 2004 and 5, getting introduced to television, and then just learning from Greg and understanding what it means to tell a story through radio. It's vastly different. It's not really the same skill sets. And I think the two things that I love about him the most are, well, three. Number one is professionalism. That's easy. Right? He just did his job and he loved doing it. Number two is just modeled behavior. If you just kind of followed his lead and did what he did and tried to emulate his day to day, you were going to be okay. Right. So that's huge. And the other thing is, I just can't get over his humility. Just his ability to his quiet strength. And it was never about him. And he liked it that way. You know, some guys kind of all shucks it. And, you know, deep down, it's they want something else. But for him, I think his humility was one of his greatest assets.
You know, I always tell people, too, he was the ultimate point guard. And, Coach, you can jump in on this, too. But he brought out everybody's best strengths. And he was able to, as DB said, he came in the middle of the season. And you would have never known the way he was able to help us weave in and out and still utilize me on the sideline, you in the booth. And just with so many moving parts, he just was so good at spreading it around and bringing out people's best. And, DB, you can start. And, Coach, you can jump in on the other side.
Yeah, it's no coincidence. People would ask me about the chemistry and, oh, you guys seem to have so much fun. And, you know, he even changed my style without saying much. I felt a lot freer and kind of more of my real personality came out through radio because, and it's almost uncanny, the correlation. My favorite basketball player of all time was Magic Johnson. And He wasn't great at any one thing except bringing people together in his leadership. And you referenced him being kind of like the point guard. And he's like Magic Johnson. The way that he could set you up and deliver and just make the right pass at the right time. And he had this uncanny, you guys know this. He had this uncanny, his Rolodex and how he could remember and recall things on cue. No matter how or where you stretched him, he was never speechless. It was incredible how he could bob and weave and kind of play the game.
I'll tell you how good he was, DB. so many people who listened to our broadcast when you came in talked about how seamless the transition seemed to be. And consistently I said, look, DB came through the door ready to dance. And that's why. And I don't think Greg ever got enough credit for how he seamlessly changed his style a little bit.
Yeah.
To really enhance those things that Damon would bring out. And it's the big secret of Greg Sharp that he wanted you to credit everybody else. He wanted you to think, well, Damon came in and was a natural here. Greg really put the chemistry in place.
Yep.
He drew the outlines for Damon to be successful. Would you agree with that, DB?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was floored. You know, coming back from Purdue in that first broadcast, I felt like there's no way this is exactly what I said. I'm coming back on the plane. I said, there's no way he's really like this. This is almost too good to be true. And Benny Mack goes, DB, I'm telling you, it's okay if you let your guard down. He's as good as it gets. Because I'm kind of paranoid myself, right? And I mentioned some of the insecurities and really wanting to be a pleaser and just fit in, right? That's kind of a big deal for me, being raised in a team sport and being the youngest of five. I kind of want to understand and know my role, and you won't hear a peep out of me. And his ability to free me up to do that real time was, I'm telling you, Coach, I thought it was too good to be true.
Well, listen, Greg would not want this to just be all, you know, sad and all of that. So in honor of him being a part of it, I was trying to find it earlier. I was going through all my text messages. You going to the wrong stadium at Minnesota. Yeah. I mean, that's still one of my favorite stories. Him calling me and saying, Damon's at the wrong stadium. We're on the air in 5 minutes. And then I had to pick you up. And then we still, I mean, that.
No, I didn't, no you had to pick him up.
Yeah.
I didn't have that part of the story. He's standing on the wrong side of the stadium.
But Damon and Greg are talking before I'm even involved for like an hour trying to get DB to the radio booth.
So the funny thing about it, Code, is I Jess sees me leave in the Uber. And I said, hey, stop. I said, Jess, I said, do you want us to wait? We can just ride to the stadium together. I mean, I had plenty of time. It was 1:30. And Jess was like, no, you know, I don't have to do much before 3. I think she was with her cousin. And some people were in visiting. And I said, okay, you know, I'll see you at the stadium. And all I put in for the Lyft driver was Bank Stadium. And as you know, they both have Bank Stadium in the name. So on the way over, and I'm not, this is, Jess will tell you, like, this is exactly how it happened. So I called Greg real quick and I said, hey, the corners of the stadium, because we've all been dropped off and had to walk all the way around the stadium. Yeah. So I said, hey, you know, what entrance are you using? And he said, you know, use the one where you'll see the semi trucks and it's on University Ave. I said, okay, sounds good. So when we get close to the stadium, there are a couple of Husker fans walking. So I figured, and it's early, it's 1:55 maybe. And I think, oh, you know, I'm good, it's fine. They're touring. So I walked all the way around. And so I told the driver to wait for me because it was hot and I didn't want to walk and I didn't know where I was going. And he was really cool. His wife was from Omaha. And so we made small talk. I totally pulled a Jess. I was JC all the way. I like made nice with the driver. And she just usually does it at about 6:30 in the morning when we're on our way over. Nobody feels like talking. But and he said, well, University Ave. He goes, I'm not really familiar with that. Let me just go over where the trucks are. So I'm like, okay. I walked around, pulled the door handle, didn't work. Pulled another door handle, didn't work. I walked to the corner of the building. I waved him on. I was just like, hey, go ahead. So this lady let me in and went through the scan deal. And everything's right. It's good.
Except there's nobody like, around.
Right. No one.
Purple.
No one.
But keep going.
So I go to the elevator and Greg had told me to go to the 6th floor. And I looked at it and it said -1, -2, -1, 1, 2, 3, 4. And I was like, oh, you know, big integers guy, right? He likes whole numbers. He meant, you know, 6 levels, not the 6th floor. This is exactly
big
what
I'm integers guy. What?
That's what I thought. This is in writing. I was like, oh, big whole numbers guy, huh? And he goes, what? And I go, there's no 6th floor. He goes, you sure? I said, I don't know. I'll see if I have to walk the rest of the way. So short story long, there were like 3 different stops along the way. I walk into a meeting. I see a couple of Vikings jerseys. There's a North Dakota State jersey. There's like the Jumbotron going. So I called Sharp back. This is the 4th time in about 4 minutes. And he said, just go back downstairs, go to where the oars are. And I said, okay, I didn't see any oars. And he goes, okay, tell you what, just go to the open end of the stadium. And right then and there, I knew I was in trouble. So I had gotten help from everybody in the building. And this has taken like 25 minutes. And Sharp is like, stop calling me. And because he was going to meet me at the elevator. So I'm like, shoot, I'm at the wrong stadium. He's like, oh, DB. He's like, hustle. So I called and get this. This is the kicker. So I go outside and I call another Uber. It's only like 4 minutes away. I figure it's like 5 minutes away. I got plenty of time. Matt, who drives past me? Jess.
No.
Yeah.
She sticks her head out the window. She goes, DB, what are you doing? you need a ride?
Yep.
I go, oh my God.
I told my cousin, I was like, pull over, we gotta pick that guy up. And then I texted Greg, hey, we got the goods, we've secured him. I will make sure that he's
there. I jog across the street, I hop in the car, and I'm not done screwing up yet. So Jess knows where she wants to drop us off. She's like, no, you know, we need to go to the press box side where the Jumbotron is. I'm like, everybody's going in over there. Let's just go here. She's like, I don't know if we can get in. I was like, Jess, it's closer. Like, let's just go in. Wrong again, Coach.
Well, and then it takes him 45 minutes to get through security, the line. He's taking out.
They let Jess through Scott.
He keeps beeping, you know. So and we so got him there.
The guy's like making jokes. And I'm telling you, like, we're on air. It's 2:58. I haven't even opened my computer to start the show.
Yeah. But, you know, we all agreed, Greg, Ben, and I, that we would not tell that story. We would leave it in Minneapolis. But then DB himself a little bit. And then the next thing you know, it's out there. So
I told Kugler over text, and he said something on Twitter. And people wanted to know the story, so I felt like I had to come clean. Because if I let him tell it first, I'm in trouble. So I wanted to get out in front of it.
And then that stayed with DB. It was a joke that we all still...
Just how about the coats and gloves stories?
What?
How about the coat and glove stories? 2 weeks in a row, he told me to bring my coat.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, nah, and he didn't bring good. A coat.
No. I didn't bring my coat.
He was always looking out. But yeah, so then every time that we would go on a road trip, we would make a joke that at least there's only one stadium in this town, or at least hopefully he can figure out where this stadium is. It's easier to find.
He would joke and send a bad pin drop. You know, like I would end up at, you know, City Life or something. It was
he kept it light and fun and, you know, kept us on our toes, but it was a great time. That was kind of going back to what you were saying, Courtney, earlier. He made it fun. It was just, it was fun to work with him. David, thanks.
Remember when I asked him if it was okay to high five and stuff like that? Like, he's literally spoon feeding me.
Only Greg probably could navigate that the way that he did. Well, thanks for being here with us tonight, DB. Appreciate you, you know, embarrassing yourself again with that story.
Yeah, you make it easy. And Code, I told you over text when I heard it real time, that that open before the basketball game was fantastic, man. Hats off to you. And Jess, I appreciate all your help kind of figuring it out and actually giving me some courage on that Tuesday. And don't think I'll ever forget that, because I'm not sure I would have if you didn't give me the blessing. So I appreciate that.
All right, DB joining us. Damon Benning.
Hugs.
Yeah, virtual hugs.
Hugs, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Damon Benning here with us on Sports Nightly. On the other side, we've got Nate Rohr will be joining us live on here on our Greg Sharp tribute show. Keep it here.
McCoy back in the pocket. Holding, now being rushed. Sue gets him and throws him down. That is his third sack of the game for Ndamukong Suh, the best player in college football.
Welcome back into Sports Nightly and our Greg Sharp tribute show. I'm Jessica Cootie with Matt Coatney in studio. We've got lots of texts rolling in. I'm trying to get to as many as we can. We might have to continue and read a few of these more on Thursday night when we're back with you. But I did want to read this one. Jim in Columbus said, I used to love sending Halloween costumes to Greg and you, Jessica. You seemed to enjoy them, but always wondered if what was his thoughts on wearing them and if you had to force him to wear them. I couldn't help have tears in my eyes when I heard the news of his passing and people tonight during the show. He was loved by so many people. May he rest in peace. Absolutely. And Jim, no, I actually did not have to convince him very much. He was pretty excited about wearing them. So I was going through photos too over the last couple of days, and those were some of my favorites. It's him wearing the Elvis wig and the hat that you made. And he actually FaceTimed me when he got your package, and he was so excited to show. So yeah, he actually enjoyed wearing those Halloween costumes. Well, we welcome in another member of our Huskers Radio Network family, Nate Rohr, joining us. And Nate's going to be with us here for the rest of this hour. Nate, thanks so much for being here with us. We're having some fun telling some fun stories, but I know Greg really meant a lot to you as a friend and a mentor as well.
Yeah, happy to be with you, although I wish under different circumstances, but Greg was a tremendous friend and mentor to me, probably for the better part of 20 years. I mean, I spotted and did stats for him before he was the voice of the Huskers, when he would come up and do the pay-per-view games back in those days, and he would come up and do the Fox Sports Midwest basketball games. And so I got to know him then, and then our relationship, our working relationship deepened when he came up here as voice of the Huskers. And so he was always so encouraging to me and always such a good friend to me. And so, of course, Saturday, when I heard the news, it was terribly sad for me. But, you know, unfortunately, we knew this would probably be the result at some point. It was just sad when we got there.
Nate, you know, you and I have had a million conversations about the nitpicky parts of broadcasting, about mm-hmm. play-by-play. I've known you for so many years. You have listened to as much Greg Sharp play-by-play as anybody. What impresses you about Greg's style that maybe your average fan wouldn't know is the reason they're being impressed? From a professional broadcaster standpoint, you've heard Greg so much. What are the things that you'll take and maybe you've used in your play-by-play that you've gotten from Greg?
Well, and you know, it's funny because it feels like an extension of who he is or who he was writ large, but sort of the grace and the ease that he conveyed on the air. He was descriptive enough to where you could picture the action and understand what was going on. But sometimes we broadcasters can be a little guilty of trying to impress ourselves and trying to jam 10 pounds of feathers into a 5-pound sack. And I think Greg always had a great sense of how much he could describe in the course of a play, how much information he could fit in between snaps, between plays, between pitches and baseball, and fill in the blanks that you leave in play-by-play, but at the same time not overwhelm you with information. But, it played to the larger grace of the man that he had such a good measure of the space in between plays or the space inside a play to describe. And he would tell you enough to where you felt like a part of the play and you had an emotional connection to the action, but at the same time, you weren't overwhelmed by, oh my goodness, he told me 72 things in 5 seconds and it just sounded like a garble of words. So just from a nuts and bolts play-by-play standpoint, that would probably be his biggest thing for me. And, you know, the thing is that was something that maybe was not a strong suit of mine and still really isn't, but the way he went about it underscored the value of efficiency, the value of making every word count.
Oh, great stuff there. Let's go ahead and get to a break, but we're going to keep chatting with Nate Rohr on the other side. Keep it here on Sports Nightly.
Third and 14 for the one. Back to throw is Armstrong. Has some time, looks. Guns deep now. Fields got a man wide open. Quincy Enunwa makes a catch on the 45. Stays on his feet. He's going to go. 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Nebraska. The Huskers just went 99 yards.
Our Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center is sponsored by Acres, the Midwest premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres, solutions for every field. Final segment here. Of Sports Nightly in hour number one, Matt Cotney, Jessica Cootie here with you on studio, and Nate Rohr joining us as well. And Nate, I've been asking people to tell some funny stories about Greg too, and you've got a couple of chucklers that you remember with Greg.
Yeah, obviously, as long as we work together, you're going to have some funny stuff happen. One of them was, I want to say 2011, I might be a year off either way. I was spotting for Greg, and for those who don't know, the spotter tends to watch the game mostly through binoculars. So Nebraska was blowing out. I want to say it was Florida Atlantic. And as the game was winding down, I'm watching a play through my binoculars,
and I feel a punch in my stomach. And as it turns out, Der Wienerschlinger shot one of the hot dogs from the ground floor, the apron of West Stadium, up to our sixth floor booth, and our booth window was open. And I got whacked in the stomach with this projectile hot dog. And so, of course, and the game was a blowout. So, you know, you're looking for stuff to have fun with, laugh about. And Greg enjoyed that heartily. So
did he call it on the air?
Oh, yeah. I wish I would have. I think I have the sound clip somewhere. I need to dig it up. Because he gave the full play-by-play of it. Der Wienerschlinger just shot Nate Rohr. I eventually enjoyed the hot dog, so my permanent revenge.
You ate the hot dog?
Of course. Come on. It hit me in the stomach. I not right away. They wrap that thing. They mummify it in packing tape to get it up there. So
I thought I was the only person on this network famous for hot dogs. Okay, you got me beat
so
now.
So funny. You got to find that clip.
Yeah, I'll see if I can track it down. The other one, quickly.
You got about 30 seconds here, Nate.
Okay. I was hosting Sports Nightly with him soon after I was married. I was fidgeting with my wedding ring. It fell into one of the office chairs, and we were crawling around the floor of the studio trying to find this ring. It stuck in the chair. It ended up getting wedged in there, and it's shaped like a D. After we lost this thing, we had to take this chair apart to get my ring.
And Greg was helping you, assisting you with it.
Oh, yes, he was.
Oh, great stuff. I wish we had more time. We just, those commercial breaks and all of that. But thank you for being here with us, Nate. Great stuff. And make sure you post that clip on social so we can relive it.
Hugs, Nate.
I'll see if I can track it down tonight. Thanks, guys.
Thanks to Matt Coatney for being here with us in hour number one. Hour number two just ahead.
Coming to you live from Memorial Stadium, it's Sports Nightly. Presented to you by the NDOT Highway Safety Office, who remind you to buckle up and put the phone down.
So Taylor gets a shotgun set, gives it to Jack. Here he goes. He's got blockers out in front.
There he goes.
Jack is running to midfield. Listen to this crowd. As Jack Hoffman, a young man that, as I mentioned, has really been adopted by this football team, just scored a touchdown.
Oh, wow. What a moment.
And both benches empty. And folks, Huskers in punt formation, but there's no punter back there. Nebraska is going to take a delay game. And Husker Nation, permission to shed a tear.
Now, here is your host, Jessica Coody, on the Huskers Radio Network.
Welcome back, hour number two of our Greg Sharp tribute show here on Sports Nightly. I'm so thankful that so many members of our Huskers Radio Network family have joined me here tonight. And we have another member, Ben McLaughlin, joining us. Jeremiah Searles will be here shortly. Ben, thank you so much for being here. I know you're traveling, and it was, a tough weekend for you and Nick, but you guys had me in tears several times. I know it was tough, but I know there's no doubt in my mind that's what Greg would have wanted you guys to do, is call those wins on Saturday and Sunday and Monday.
Yeah, and honestly, that was the only thing helping me get through it, was knowing that he'd be telling me, what are you even thinking about? Like, this isn't a choice. You just got to go do it. And that was the only thing I thought of all day Saturday. We found out that he had passed in the middle of the game on Friday, and I, of course, learned about it on the bus on the way back to the hotel. And it was the only time all weekend we had run into traffic getting back, and it felt like a four-hour bus ride. I was just in shock, numb, just trying to keep it together with the team on the bus after just losing their season opener. After collecting myself for a few minutes, had to go up to the front of the bus, and I had to tell Coach Bolt personally. So that was really difficult. And then, yeah, I mean, trying to get through a broadcast on Saturday was by far the hardest on-air moment of my life. And it was tough. It was really, really tough. And for me to have Nick there with me and all of Husker Nation with all the words of encouragement, the support, the team. I mean, standing down on the field before the game for batting practice, I think there was double-digit players come up and give me a hug and just didn't even have to say anything. And having them there and the Coach Bolt's support, I wouldn't have been able to make it through without them. It was a night I'll never forget for all the right and all the wrong reasons at the same time.
Oh, we've cried tears of sadness, tears of joy, or I certainly have, laughing at some of the stories that have been told by some of the guys here. And we had a text that came in at the beginning of the show talking about Greg's hot dogs. Apparently, he was a ketchup guy on his hot dog.
Yeah, ketchup only, man. And for whatever reason, he wouldn't deviate from that. And so, you know, anytime I would, you know, you have enough hot dogs, you have to change it up because it gets stale after 50 plus of them throughout the course of a year. So I'll change the combinations up just to give the taste buds a curveball, but not him. I mean, if he went hot dog, it was ketchup and either M&M's or Cracker Jacks. He was pretty consistent when it came to his ballpark orders.
You know what else kind of food that he really loved to eat that I know you guys partook in with him was Victory Vowels. And on that note, we welcome in Jeremiah Searles joining us on the phone. You guys, I know you didn't have as many of them as you'd like, but y'all really enjoyed your Victory Vowels.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, some of my favorite memories are coming up from working the sideline, walking into the booth, and Ben and I finishing up the post-game show, and then just sitting there, and we'd take, kind of draw straws of who would go out and just smell real quick and be like, is it here yet? Nope, not here yet, right? And then jump back in, and just some great moments in the radio booth with both Ben and Greg, and just reminiscing about the game of what went right, what went wrong, what we need to fix, and just, you know, fixing all of Husker Nation football's problems in that little radio booth post game is one of my more fonder memories of post games with Greg and Ben.
We've talked about this a couple of times, and Ben, you could jump on this too, but it didn't matter who all, he just made everybody feel so welcomed, and he was just so good at making us all feel apart, and that you were really important to him no matter how many hours he spent with you, and it just was, we all felt special by Greg. And so I think you guys can maybe talk about what it was like in that radio booth, and how much fun you guys had even despite some of the frustrating times that you might have experienced too.
Yeah, we kind of had to, you know. I don't need to remind Husker Nation, but we didn't win a ton, you know, there for a while. And so you had to find ways to keep it light. And, you know, as playful as he was and as comfortable as he all made us, Greg was hyper competitive. Like, Greg hated to lose in anything, whether it be on the broadcast, checkers, like anything you played off the air, like he hated to lose. And so the losses started to eat at you after a while. And so, you know, he just poured a lot into it each and every week because we were all optimistic. We all hoped each and every week. And as Searle said, you know, we would always kind of try to identify what the next week was going to look like or the season outcome is going to be. You know, that was one of Greg's favorite activities to do, no matter the season, time of year. All right, so what's the record from here on out? Let's go through it. Did the same thing in baseball. In fact, the last time I visited with him, that it was the same thing. All right, give me the record. Like, it's just those conversations that he liked to have, those hypotheticals, and then, of course, you know, always assuming best-case scenario. That was Sharpie in a nutshell when it comes time to winning and losing.
And so
yeah,
is,
and I've been telling
– Oh, go ahead, go
sorry,
ahead.
I was just going to – I've been telling people, too, you know, like, I don't know – if I knew a better Husker fan than Greg, right? Like a guy that embodied what it meant to be a Husker, like not just a Husker fan, but a Husker. Like he was as much a Husker as any of us that put the N on the side of our helmets, any of us that walked onto the field, the court, the whatever, right? That dude bled Husker red. And I mean, all the way up to when Jess, when you and I got to talk with him, you know, last when we had tied with him, all he wanted was like, so what about that game the other night? Or what about the spring game? Like, he just loved Husker Nation and he just loved the Huskers so much. Like, it was infectious. Like you said, but like, it was infectious that when you were around him, even regardless of what the outcome of the game was, he always kind of made you think like, yeah, but we'll get the next one. Like, we'll get the next one. Yeah, Sharpie said we'll get the next one. We'll get the next one, right? Like, it was just always such an infectious thing, his love for the Huskers.
And Searles, who so affectionately was named the big dog by Greg, that just stuck. I don't know when that even started, but it stuck. But
either.
On his note to the competitiveness, we certainly felt that in the picks. And he made sure to let you know that when you didn't do well, and that we needed to catch you and beat you. I mean, it was like he and I were just trying to do all we could to pass you this past season. We didn't care if the students won, as long as you didn't.
100%. And I have the picture on my phone when Greg would call or I would text Greg, is he sent us a picture one time of him wearing the crown that he won in the picks at the radio booth. And that's going to forever and always stick in my phone because he'd let us know when he wanted to. It'd always be like, some of us had a good week last week. Some of us didn't, but some of us did, right? And then he'd always pigeonhole where we needed to pick because he knew where, like, I loved Indiana and Tom Allen. He knew you loved Penn State, and he who had the pen last got to make the last vote, right? So he would stack the picks against us, and you can't tell me otherwise.
Absolutely. Searles, can you just give us your perspective on, you were a player and then wanting to get into broadcasting, and just your relationship with Greg and how it went from getting to know him as a player to then being a colleague here on the radio network?
Yeah, you know, as a player, you always saw Greg around doing post-game shows or doing the head coach's show with Coach Pelini and on the planes, on the buses. And I always was very loved talking with Greg, right? Just here and there. But we really didn't become super close until when I retired out of the NFL. And I was kind of wandering on what I wanted to do. And I met with Rathi and them over there at, I can't remember what it was before, it was Playfly. And then they were like, well, why don't you go talk to Greg? And I went and talked to Greg, and he was just so welcoming of, like, you know, I said, yeah, I've heard you doing other stuff. I think you'd be great on this. I think you'd be, like, this is where we could see you fit, and this is maybe we could see your expanded role, right? And then just get to watch how he worked throughout the week and how he prepared was really eye-opening to me of how much work it goes in to actually call a game, right, to actually go through it. I can remember when I called the spring game, and I was like, this is actually really hard, right? And I was like, Greg makes it look so easy. Right? And I remember asking, I was like, hey, can I get some of those sheets that you write all the names guys on? He goes, oh, I've just been photocopying them for like 20 years. He's like, I don't have like a saved sheet. And, you know, just the way that he went about his business and made it look so effortless to make a great call and the moments, you know, it was just, I looked at him as a mentor in this field. And, you know, I got to call him a mentor. I got to call him a friend. Right. It was a blessing to get to work with him in that kind of capacity and also kind of have him take me under his wing at times.
Ben, I think a lot of us have those kinds of stories about, I mean, how he mentored so many people, but it was all in their own special way. It wasn't like he mentored everybody the same.
No, and my story is a little bit different than most from the mentorship side. People talk about how, you know, how nice and welcoming he is, and he was, but Greg also, and anybody that listens to our stuff knows, we have a high standard here with the type of stuff that we put out. There's an expectation that, you know, anytime that you get airtime on our network, that, you know, it's quality and there's effort behind it and there's intent and the motives are right. So when I first started in the network back in 2008, just as an assistant producer as a freshman in college, you know, I kind of learned the hard way of Greg Sharp, you know. Lane Grindle was the host of Sports Nightly at the time, solo, and I actually, ironically enough, messed up the first interview that I was supposed to play.
Oh, no.
It was a recorded interview. It was with Robert Griffin III, right in the middle of his Heisman Trophy run at Baylor, and it was like maybe my first week on the job, and Lane Grindle came back and just tongue-lashed me. And I was like, I'm not cut out for this. I got to quit. Like, I can't handle this if this is how it is every day. I'll never forget what Jeff Culhane told me my first day walking to the studio. He goes, hey, we're not ESPN, but we're ESPN. We don't make mistakes here. And, of course, the Robert Griffin thing happened. And then fast forward to the spring when Greg was doing baseball at the time when I was just a producer. I had made some type of mistake on the broadcast, like I misplayed an ID or triggered the commercial wrong, or I did something to annoy him. And I could just tell the way he was addressing me how much it bugged him. And so I sent him a text. He didn't answer. apologizing. And so I called him, and I didn't know him that well at the time. And he goes, it's a learning experience. Just don't let it happen again. And, you know, it wasn't to be mean or to be rude, but I think it just goes to show how much he cared about our product and how much he cared about the details. And that's what I latched onto early. As somebody who had no familiarity with radio at all at the time, I learned from a very young age, winning is in the details and the execution's in the details. And it made me a better producer. It made me a better broadcaster. And then you can see the big picture after those little things are put together. And he was just amazing, you know, and it was so effortless and natural. And no matter the situation, good, bad, indifferent, chaotic, lightning delay in football, rain delay in baseball, it didn't matter. He always had an answer, and he was always just cool, calm, and collected any situation that was put in front of him.
I think what people might not realize, we've talked a little bit about that, and he certainly allows for a fun atmosphere, but off the air, how fun and witty he is. And Searles, we had a group message, just the three of us, that, I mean, there were several times that he had us rolling. He was pretty quick, as Ben just mentioned, to have a one-liner that he delivered to lighten the mood.
Oh, the one-liners, and also the things he would try and bait you into, right? Like he'd ask you about something specific where you're like, I know what you're trying to get me to say here. I'm not going to say it, right? Like he'd try to be like, come on, you know, you believe that, right? Like, stop it, Greg. You stop it right now, right? Like that type of stuff was so fun. And he was very witty, like very funny, but also like to just echo Ben's point, like he was very, very detail oriented, which I can always appreciate, right? As a guy that hates being late, hates things not being on time, right? Like Greg was always early. I don't think he ever beat me to, I'd like, hey, I even would try and be like, I'm going to show up like 15 minutes early and try and beat Greg our recording time, right? He'd be sitting in there waiting for me. I was like, God, I can't beat this guy, right? But that was just who Greg was, and it embodied what it meant to be a professional, like all of those things. I can't echo everything that Ben said, but I mean, all of that was so true from him.
Searles mentioned we got to see him last week, and I was joking with Amy that you try to tell the big dog no. He's a little scary when he's determined. He really came to mean a lot to you over these last couple years.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I'm going to miss the most, and I would get random calls from Greg in the middle of the week during football season, and I'd pick it up, and he'd go, Jeremiah, tell me if I'm seeing this wrong. And he'd talk about our DBs or something on the line, right? He'd be like, and I'd be like, no, Greg, I just know. He's like, okay, I just want to make sure I wasn't being crazy, right? And like, it was just such a fun call when I knew I'd get a random phone call from Greg in the middle of the week, right? I knew it was just to talk ball. And I loved just talking ball with Greg and just getting to talk about, just those moments or things you took for granted, you know, like, hey, you just assume every football season you're going to get a call from Greg midweek, and you know, to know that those calls won't be coming in anymore is something that's still not, I don't think, really set in for me, but it's one of those things that I'll make sure I cherish all the memories and the times that I do remember those calls.
Well, Ben's going to stick around with us for the rest of hour number two. But, Searles, before we let you go, I've been asking everybody, do you have a funny memory or one of those kind of stories that, you know, that can make us smile, make us laugh? I'm putting you on the spot here.
I know you're putting me on the spot. You know, not one off the top of my head. You know, I think it's a group of, I think, our pick segment when we used to do it in person. Right. When I would come in and when I was doing the sideline, and I'd come in and just the way that he would just have us all rolling laughing while we're trying to record a broadcast, like those moments where I'm trying to like wipe tears from my eyes as I'm trying to make a pick for Baylor and Texas Tech. Right. Like those moments for me were just so much fun and just so enjoyable to spend with him.
Searles, thanks for calling in. Appreciate your perspective as always.
Yeah, appreciate you guys. Love you guys.
Searles joining us on our Sports Nightly Hotline. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics. We're back with more coming up.
A wing to the near side. Twins to the near side. Martinez in the gun. Roy Hilla behind him. The snap back, hand off to Roy Hilla. Straight ahead. 40. Roy to midfield. Roy Hilla to the 40. To the 30. To the 20. You betcha. That is a touchdown for Nebraska on their first offensive snap of the game. 66 yards. 6-0. Big Red.
The Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center is sponsored by Acres, the Midwest premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres, solutions for every field. Welcome back to Sports Nightly. Our special tribute to Greg Sharp, as all the members of, or a lot of the members of our Huskers Radio Network broadcast family joining us here on this two-hour show. Ben McLaughlin here. And Ben, we've got so many texts on the text line rolling in. I'm probably going to have to save some of them and read them on Thursday, but I know you, I mentioned this earlier, your phone was blowing up. I know I was bombarded. They're just, he meant a lot to Husker Nation.
Yeah, he did. And, you know, I really felt that on Saturday with the broadcast happening, but just the impact that he had, you know, on the teams, on our team, our baseball team, our coaches. You know, I started out the hour by talking about just the hugs that I got from our guys, you know, get ready to play a big game against a nationally ranked team. The parents that were there, you know, I've gotten to know Gabe Swanson's parents obviously really well over the last 4 years. And obviously Gabe had a big night that night. And, you know, his father gave me a huge hug after the game and was just in tears. You know, he had his hands on this state and all over the world where Husker fans are, and he just had a way to connect with everybody, and I always admired that, because I was, you know, when I first was traveling around with him, I was an early 20s gawky college kid and awkward when strangers would come talk to us, but he always just handled it in stride and had a way to connect with each and every person that he talked to.
Greg, always loved when Carla would text into the show, and she sent a text earlier. Sports Nightly staff, I echo all the sentiments already said about Greg. He was a class act and outstanding broadcaster. He, along with you, Jessica, and all the sports broadcasters, our friends and the listening audience have never met, but are special important to the listeners of Husker Sports. Thank you, Greg, for being the broadcast face of Husker Sports. Rest in peace, Greg. Thanks, Carla. So many texts, and again, trying to get to all of them. I'm reading all of them. They're so awesome. Great words that we'll continue to try to read over these next couple of days. But we've been coming in and out of breaks with some of the tributes, some of the greatest calls from Greg Sharp. Had a lot of fun listening to those, and the guy responsible for that, Josh Hilkeman, who's been longtime producer for Greg, joining us here. He meant a lot to you too. Thanks for all your work and helping us highlight him, but we don't always see your face, but you do such a great job, and you meant a lot to Greg as well, so we wanted to have your voice on here as well.
Yeah, no, thanks, Jess. I'm not as comfortable on this side of the microphone as the other one, but I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to share my thoughts about Greg, because he did mean a lot to me in a lot of ways. And yeah, you mentioned the highlights at the coming in and out of segments, and the one that you heard coming in there is probably one of my favorites from the 2010 Missouri game. And Ben can maybe share this a little bit better than me, because I actually wasn't here at that time, but it's almost become lore, as Ben has told me the story over and over about how fired up Greg was for that game. And you can tell it, the Husker scored on their first play from scrimmage, and he just was so fired up. And that was Greg in a big moment, especially in a football game. There was nothing better than that. Like, he was able to hit every single part of that call in just the perfect way. And so, you know, it's funny, because I, like, over the last several years, you guys talked about in the last segment with Searles how, you know, there are some tough times. And that was one of the things that was the hardest about it, was that Greg didn't have as many moments to be able to have those big calls. And so, but he still was able to call a great game and everything. So that is one of my favorite parts of this job, is clipping highlights and making montages and things like that. And Greg was, he made it easy when there was a big call.
Ben, how fired up was Greg that day?
Yeah, so we got to tell the story now. there was a sequence, like, and this goes into what we were talking about last segment, about how competitive he was. But Greg would also get irked about things that were just like out of protocol or just bad taste. It happens a lot in college baseball. Like, you know, last second, they'll say, oh, you're going to take in and outs first, not second. Just like unwritten rules. And there was a few of those broken the week of that Mizzou game, and there was no love lost between those two programs. I know we had gotten stiffed on a radio show by somebody. They had kicked all of our recruits off of the sideline, knowing that they were recruits, like, warming up. There was a whole bunch of things that happened, and Greg was, like, pissed when that game started, like, really mad. And you heard it there. That was the first play of the game, and Roy, who broke the rushing record that day, popped the 66-yarder, and you can just hear the very end of the call. He couldn't quite help himself. Like, he had to just, like, give that big old grunt right there at the end. And it was like that all day long. And, yeah, he didn't let it – he was not bashful that day about letting people know how much that one meant to him.
It was fun just even during the commercial break. Y'all were telling – even just stories, just y'all had a lot of fun. When you talk about competitive in some games that he got pretty fired up about, and you wrote him some second place certificates and stuff.
Yeah, no, we played lots of games. We played buy sell and face off, and during COVID, we had like this MLB The Show stream where called SNBL. So, and no matter what it was, like Ben said last segment, he was hated to lose, and so yeah, we would make certificates for the guys and bring them in when they were on the air. And you could just look at when he would get second place to Ben, you could tell by the look on his face that he was not happy about it and would just kind of throw it off to the side. But no, he was about as competitive as it got. And that's what you could tell that in his calls too. Like, he wanted to win. And so when something like that happened in that Missouri game, he was as fired up as everybody. And I think that's why Husker Nation loved listening to him, is because he made you feel the way that, you know, that everybody was feeling. And, you know, so you were able to feel that energy.
Greg loved to dish it out, but he didn't love to take it so much. And, like, I really didn't care that much about buy sell until I saw that it bugged him. And then I would just, like, do the sarcastic, because back then we were sitting face to face, like, doing the show, like, we were in a separate studio. And it was only he and I in the studio. It was only him. Josh and the producers were in a completely other room. And so it was only he and I, and we didn't have, you know, live streams at the time. And, like, I would just purposely just dig the knife a little further in his side when Josh would bring those certificates in. I'd be clapping in the mic. I'd do, like, the Rocky, like, two arms in the air. And it wasn't because I was that happy that I won. I just wanted to see him, like, squirm and just be so mad that he lost. And it was worth it. It was so worth it.
Roger on the text line said Greg was so gifted in his delivery, either football or baseball, preferred to hear his delivery of a Husker game than the national station broadcasters. And Josh, I'd love to get your perspective on that, because you've produced a lot of games, a lot of different sports, just how gifted and talented he was at, because it's totally two different broadcasts between baseball and football, and how good he was at painting the pictures for both sports.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. He was definitely gifted at both. And, you know, football is, you got to be on top of everything. Like, it is so fast moving. You got to get your color analyst involved. So you got to get out of your call for each play pretty quick. And then you got to get down to you on the sidelines. And, you know, there's a lot going on. And then baseball is just a lot more relaxed. There's a lot more time to tell stories. And he was great at telling stories on the air during baseball games. One thing that you got kind of brought up earlier in the show, Jess, that I think really shows how talented Greg was, is you kind of called him a point guard. And I think that I appreciated that he was basically like a producer on the air. And as a producer, and Ben was a producer too, you know, it takes a lot of, you know, I can tell when somebody has done it before. You know, Ben, like, when he's on the air, I know that he's been a producer before and he's basically producing on the air. Greg was as good as anybody that's on the air at doing that. And I love all our on-air people, but he made it so easy for me. Like, and sometimes I would take that for granted, that, you know, there'd be different times during a game and maybe he would miss something. And I'd be like, whoa, where'd that come from? Like, it would just take me by surprise because he was so on top of every little detail, not just calling the game, but breaks, when we're going to take a legal ID, making sure that we get to this and that. And I, you know, and basically it was like, I didn't have to do anything. So, yeah, he was uber talented at both the on-air part of it, but then also taking care of the behind-the-scenes part of it, the producing of it, too.
There's some discussion.
Sorry, Jess.
What? Sorry, go ahead, Ben.
I was just going to chime in and just one to further that one step further. I think I might have said this earlier. I can't remember what I've said to who at this point, but how under control he was all the time. You know, so many times in a big moment in a football game where it's coming down to the last drive or it's in overtime, you know, and I'm not even on the air in football, and I'm sitting next to him, and I'm shaking, my hands are trembling, or hands are sweaty. Baseball in the bottom of the ninth when you got guys on base and it's, you know, it's coming down to this pitch, and I would look over at him just in awe because he was just so in control and calm, and it was just like he couldn't, you know, nothing could faze him, and that's why he was able to reach the pinnacle on those calls when the Huskers would win, and that's also how he was able to get everybody to rally behind the team or encompass the moment when we suffered those heartbreaks. And it's just something that I was always just in awe. You know, we did Sports Nightly together for 9 years and we did baseball together for 11. And I never got used to that. He just had me in awe all the time in those big moments.
So there's a discussion going on at the chat as we've played a lot of his calls going in and out of breaks. Just what your favorite Greg Sharp call was. We saw the Alex Henry's 57-yard field goal. I think we had a couple texts, too, about the Taylor Martinez game against maybe Kansas State in 2010. Then Jeff in the chat said even the first game after Sam Foltz's death when we were in pump formation without the punter, and he said permission to shed a tear. You mentioned that was one of your favorites, the one coming in out of the Missouri game. Do you have other favorites? And Ben, do you have another favorite too?
Yeah, that one is the Missouri game, I think, is my favorite just game as a whole because he was fired up the entire game. There's like one call in the third quarter of that same 2010 Missouri game where he says the Huskers came up with a goal line stand. He says the black shirts are rearing their heads. And the way that he delivered that was just perfect. And I feel like you still will hear it during like different tunnel walk things in the stadium and stuff like that. But I mean, all of the classic ones. Ben, I think we're going to hear a couple of baseball ones later this hour coming out of the breaks. But I think the football ones are the ones that stand out the most to me, just the way that he was able to hit every single note. It was almost like a song where it was, you know, like just every single part of it was on point. So yeah, the Alex Henry field goal one I think is up there for me. The Hail Mary against Northwestern, those are some of the top ones for me.
Yeah, there's, I know we lost the game, but one that really, I mean, I still get goosebumps when I hear it, even though we had our hearts absolutely ripped out that night in Oklahoma City. Aaron Polinsky had a 3-run homer in the first inning against Okie State, and that crowd was just electric that night. There were so many Oklahoma State fans. There was a lot of Husker fans there too, but, you know, just to hear the Go Big Red chants, and Greg just absolutely nailed that highlight. And there's so many more. The obvious ones that everyone's are talking about, but there were so many in that booth that I heard in real time that I just got chills down my spine listening to. And there's probably more than I could even remember right now, but it just goes back to what we were talking about with him being able to nail every big moment, and that's why there's so many good Greg Sharp calls.
Josh, I guess one final thought from you, just when we heard Ben talking about when he first started, and I know you were working with him when you first got into this business, just what he meant to you in your career and how he helped you along, and just what he came to mean to you even beyond just a colleague.
Sure. Yeah, no, a quick story. So I started at the network in the spring of 2012. I was a senior in college, and Ben kind of got me connected it, and I started out just doing some baseball games here and there. And so I had produced a couple games, and I think I had maybe met Greg in person like one time at the studio. He had stopped by and just said hi. But then I was also working a job for an online publication where I was writing a game story and going to baseball games. So I was sitting up in the press box for a Husker baseball game, and he had happened to look through the glass and from where his booth was to look to where the media were at, and he saw me, and he made a point to come over to me and say hi. And not just that, but he had a conversation with me, and it blew me away. One, that he even recognized me, but then two, that he came over to me and said hi in front of all these other media members, and then three, that he was curious about what was going on. And then also, in typical Greg fashion, he kind of gave me a hard time about being there and not producing back in the studio, you know, asking me when I was going to be in the studio for the next game. So that was kind of who he was, but no, he meant a lot. And I think that the thing that stands out to me about Greg the most is that he was as genuine with the lowest person on the totem pole as he was with the president of the university or the athletic director. He was the same person no matter what situation he was in, whether he was on the air or off the air. And so he was genuine. He was genuinely curious about what was going on in my life with my kids. He was, even when I was not here for the 3 years that I was not at the network, he stayed in touch and would ask how things were going. And that meant a lot to me. And he encouraged me in a lot of ways. He had my back. And I'm always grateful, or I will always be grateful for the time that I was able to spend with him, because just being around him made me a better person. And I think that was what stood out to me the most about Greg, was that he was so genuine in every conversation that you had with him. He was the same no matter who he was talking to. So,
spot on. Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts and your perspective.
Absolutely.
Josh Huckelman here on Sports Nightly. Ben's going to stick around for the rest of the hour. We've got more coming up on our Greg Sharp tribute show coming up after this.
The pitch. Lifted in the air to center. That should be deep enough. Montgomery makes a catch. Pritchard tags. Races home. The throw up the line. Safe, and the Huskers have rallied and won it in the bottom of the ninth, 7-6.
There's some of those baseball highlights. Welcome back. A couple short segments left here of our two-hour Greg Sharp tribute show. Ben McLaughlin joining us here. Ben, I wanted to get your thoughts on this, too, because we had a couple people text in just appreciating that no matter what the opinion or perspective was, Greg read it on the air, and even if he challenged people and what they thought, but he loved interacting with the fans and listeners on the show with a call-in or a text, whether he agreed with the opinion or not.
Yeah, he sure did. I mean, he loved that part of it, and you know, he also understood that this was a vent. This was a therapy for people that that are so invested in Nebraska athletics, to just let them say their piece. And don't think he forgot about what people thought. You know, there was multiple times where we'd be in a game, he'd be like, "Yeah, I don't think Steve and Papillion's going to like that effort from the relief pitching staff or whatever." Like he wasn't afraid to hold on to that stuff, you know, not necessarily publicly, but he really did love hearing from all of you and everybody out there listening.
Yeah, so we appreciate it. And again, I'm so sorry I haven't had the time to read all of them. I'll continue to try to read a few of those on Thursday night as well, but we got to get to another break. We've gone a little long on both our segments here, so we're going to step aside and we're back to wrap things up on the other side of this. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics.
No balls, two strikes. The pitch lifted in the air to center. Sanguinetti is there. He's got it. And the Huskers have a no-hitter over number 12 Arkansas here today. It's the first no-hitter for Cornhusker baseball since 1993.
The Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center is sponsored by Acres, the Midwest premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres, solutions for every field. Welcome back. Just got a couple more minutes left on the show tonight. Ben McLaughlin here with us. Ben, this has been so therapeutic for me. I mean, I've laughed, I've cried. I mean, we've got a lot of texts that I know people have appreciated hearing the stories. And I said this at the top of the show, that, you know, we wanted to take tonight and honor and celebrate Greg, but there's no doubt in my mind that the next show, the next time we have Sports Nightly, he'd want us to move on and talk about Husker sports, because he loved following all the sports. He knew about all the sports and followed so closely, and he'd want us to take the time and highlight those sports on Thursday and make it about Husker sports the next time we're on the air.
Yeah, he'd want it to be about anything but himself, and he's probably mad at us all for doing this tonight, but too bad, buddy. We're doing it anyway. And it's a little bit the same way how it was with us, you know, the last year. You know, even, you know, there's a lot of things I want to keep private between he and I, but, you know, I remember one time there was a bad update, and I normally would just call and ask, and he would give me the quick update, and then we're on to something else, but I warned him over text before I called him. I'm like, we're going to talk about this. Like I told him about it, and he gave it to me a little bit, but that's just how he was. And you know that, Jess, he wanted it to be about anything but himself. And I think you're spot on.
You know, we had a chance to see him the last week, and even just his last few days, he wanted to talk about Husker sports and what was going on with Husker women's basketball and softball. I mean, he was calling us, hey, you got to put softball on the air on their season opening weekend. So we're going to have a full 2 hours on Thursday night where we're talking about Husker sports, but we definitely wanted to take tonight and just share with Husker Nation how much he meant to all of us, and we appreciate the interaction on the text. I've been, thank you so much for helping me out here in this hour. I couldn't have made it through this without you and Courtney in hour number one, and thanks to Nate, Searles, Josh, everybody, for Damon, for being a part tonight.
Of course. Thanks for putting it on, and it's easy, but also really difficult to talk about at the same time. Thank you so much to everybody for all your kind words.
Have a great night.